It'll be fine by dusk, cloud, I'm telling you, baby. These things eat at your bones and drive your young mind crazy. But when you place your head between my collar and jaw, I don't know much, but there's no weight at all. And I'm damned if I do, and I'm damned if I don't. 'Cause if I say I miss you, I know that you won't. But I miss you in the mornings when I see the sun. Something in the orange tells me we're not done. To you I'm just a man, to me you're all I am. Where the hell am I supposed to go? I poison myself.
Hello, my friends.
Again, something in the orange tells
it's
me
September 17th, 2022. My name is Critch, and you are tuned into Canadian Patriot Radio. Thanks for joining me again, my friends. So, today we're noting a big shift in the vaccine narrative. So we're going to cover that for the bulk majority of the show, and if we have time, we're going to get into climate, because that's the next push from the globalists, as you guys are all aware. But there's so much happening with vaccines, and the narrative is completely falling apart. Like we've been covering for quite some time now, but at this point it really is. So it's incredible to be watching this and sad at the same time, because I believe they actually got 5.5 billion people injected, which is horrifying. There's what, 7-8 billion people on the planet? But what I want to do first is I want to bring you an article by The Counter Signal, and the title reads, Denmark Ends COVID Jab for People Under 50. This is by Rachel Emanuel, and it was written on September 14th, 2022. Denmark has ended COVID-19 vaccination for most people under 50, the Danish Health Authority said yesterday. Denmark already discontinued COVID-19 shots for nearly everyone under 18. According to health officials, the purpose of vaccines is to prevent severe illness, hospitalization, and death. Therefore, people at highest risks of becoming severely ill will be offered booster vaccination, the Danish Health Authority says. The purpose of vaccination is not to prevent infection with COVID-19, and people under 50 are therefore currently not being offered booster vaccination. The statement goes on to say that people under 50 are generally not at high risk for becoming severely ill from COVID. In addition, younger people age under 50 are well protected against becoming severely ill from COVID-19, as a very large number of them have already been vaccinated and have been previously infected with COVID-19, and there is consequently good immunity among this. Let's just stop right there. If you were previously infected with COVID-19, you don't even need the vaccination. Like, we know this, but, you know, they're trying to run cover for what they did, is basically kind of what I wanted to point out. That's why the narrative changed, and you've got people that are just mind-controlled to a point where when they first rolled these shots out, they were saying that they would prevent the spread. They would prevent you from getting the getting COVID, and it would stop you from spreading it. And now it's just, it'll stop severe symptoms. Well, it doesn't do either. We know that. Under the new regulations, Danes under 50 will only be inoculated if they are at high risk of becoming severely ill from COVID-19. This includes those with an impaired immune system, people working in healthcare, and those working with seniors. The ban comes even while Denmark expects large waves of COVID infection in the next few months, according to independent journalist Alex Berenson. Berenson reports that Denmark did not explicitly say that the risks of the risks of mRNA jabs now outweigh the benefits for healthy people under 50, but the view is implicit in the announcement. In other words, the health authority is not stopping shots because COVID has ended. It now believes most people are better off getting the coronavirus and taking more mRNA, he wrote. The announcement comes as other countries make similar steps to limit COVID-19 vaccine access. The UK has banned doctors from giving the COVID-19 vaccine to children under 12, saying kids don't need it and they likely already have natural immunity. The UK government also released a report stating that pregnant and breastfeeding women should under no circumstances get the Pfizer COVID vaccine due to a lack of trial data on the vaccine's effects on reproductive health. In Canada, health authorities continue to encourage parents to vaccinate their babies and kids, even while the former chair of the National Advisory Committee on Immunization admitted last month that COVID is less deadly to kids than the flu. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau recently said he might impose more COVID restrictions this winter unless 80 to 90% of the population gets up-to-date vaccinations. To be fully vaccinated in Canada previously meant having two doses of a Health Canada-approved vaccine. The Canadian federal government is now applying pressure for citizens to get regular COVID-19 boosters. In September, NACI announced that Canadians might consider getting a vaccine every 90 days. So, specific countries like Denmark around the world are starting to recognize that these shots are doing more damage than COVID-19, but they're wording it quite cleverly so that they're not admitting it. I think you're going to see a trend of this. And that's with this evolving narrative that we were talking about, all of it is just CYA. What they're going to do is slowly start walking back the shots, except for in Canada, because we are a fascist dictatorship. But everywhere else in the world that still runs under at least the illusion of a free country, you're going to start seeing people that are potentially liable start rolling back the narrative, especially in politics and in health, because they realize they're liable. So, you know, like we've been saying in Canada, let's just use the Saskatch for example. In the Saskatch, they changed the labor laws. They amended the labor laws in Saskatchewan so that people that lost their jobs or were potentially injured by vaccines couldn't sue their employer. But they never could stop the fact that you could sue people individually. And it doesn't matter if they try to walk back the narrative and they're doing a CYA, cover your ass, backpedal. It doesn't matter. Each of these individuals that have, in their own, I guess, hierarchy, those at the top that pushed it, that mandated or forced, private companies in Canada to mandate it. Now, you know, that's clever how the Canadian government did that. They basically said that, you know, it's mandatory to do this. Like they did it within their own, like within the government with their own employees. So those are the ones that can sue the government, but everybody else, they basically made it so that the companies had to do it. So realistically, anybody that's injured or maimed or lost somebody is going to have to sue individuals from each company. So, you know, like I've said this before on this show, if you are one of these people that lost somebody or if you yourself are injured, let's say it was a company mandate, what you're going to have to do is figure out within your company who had the final say. Or if it was a board of people, then you sue each one of them individually. And hopefully you've got enough people at your company that also see or have lost or are injured and, you know, life is permanently altered. These are winnable cases. We just need people to start picking up the torch. And I guess that's kind of double jeopardy statement because you don't want people to get hurt or injured or anything from these shots. But unfortunately, we're seeing it. We're seeing it at really high numbers. It's staggering. You know, the 40% rise in working age deaths that the U.S. insurance companies have claimed and have come out and said, it's quite easy to see. You know, you guys have heard me use this example before, but in my small community in Southeast Saskatchewan, you'd see the ambulance once a week prior to not necessarily COVID, prior to the injections. Even during COVID, you didn't see it that much. But once the injections got rolled out in 2021, now we see that thing minimum three times a day. And now you got a whole basically division of society that, you know, went along with the narrative and they know what's happening, but they just don't want to admit it. Some of them were advocates for the shots. They pushed it. And until we can get past that stalemate of people just really need to start accepting the fact that these shots are extremely hazardous to your health, and there very well could be a limit to your lifespan, especially if you got one, two, or three, or even worse, four shots. The more shots you got, the more worse off you are. We're going to get into that in this show, my friends, so stick around. We'll be right back. Welcome, friends, to Canadian Patriot Radio, where conspiracy is not theory and political corruption finds the spotlight. We are committed to finding the real truth while upholding Canadians' God-given rights to life, liberty, and freedom, with all thy sons command. Welcome back, my friends. It had been quite a while since I switched up the intro. We've got a few different intros, and I'm a little bit overdue on recording a new one, so I'm going to actually have to get in here and start recording some new material that we can use for intros and stuff like that. And I'm going to open it up to you guys. If you have a musical clip or music that you really like, that you think would be good for an intro or anything like that, an outro, any of that, I'm going to be recording those in the near future. So send them my way. Feel free to partake in being a part of the show. And for those of you that are regular contributors of the show, I finally got some swag. So I will be hitting you guys up because I'm going to be sending you some stuff. I'll be looking for your addresses. And I'm going to send you some goodies. So just keep that in mind. When I randomly text you out of the blue, it's probably because you contributed to the show and I want to send you some stuff. Anyway, my friends, let's stay on point with the fact that the COVID vaccine narrative is falling apart. And the next article I want to point your attention to comes to us by way of the Florida Standard. And the title reads, "Vaccine Narrative Collapses as Harvard Study Shows Jab More Dangerous Than COVID." This is by Jonas Vesterberg, and it was written on September 14th, 2022. As boosters that have not been tested on humans are being rolled out across the country, a new study indicates that the jab is far more dangerous than COVID-19 itself. And the CDC has provided false information regarding their tracking of adverse events linked to the vaccines. As government officials and mainstream media urges the vaccinated to inject a second so-called bivalent booster said to be targeting the Omicron variant, it turns out that this substance has not been tested on humans. And the only animal trial that has been performed only included 8 mice. If you've seen some comments, people on socials talking about 8 mice and stuff like that, this is what this refers to. The only studies done on this latest shot has only been, it was an 8 mouse trial. That's it. And all, and in that actual study, all the mice had varying degrees of reaction to it. So that's all they're using now to roll out experimental injections to the public. You know, and that's the reason that is because we allowed them. We fucking allowed them to not do long-term studies on a vaccine, and we let them roll it out. And 5.5 billion people on this planet went and got it. That's why now it's never going to change from this point. The fact that they got away with it once means they're just going to come up with any type of chemical concoction that they see fit. And they're going to tell you that this cures, the next big thing, which is monkeypox, who knows, some sort of climate change disease. You know, they're going to try and blend the two, right? Anyway, let's carry on here. It hasn't been proven in a clinical trial because we don't have time to do a clinical trial because we need to get the vaccine out now because we have such a situation throughout the world and certainly in the United States. We are having 400 deaths per day and up to 5,000 hospitalizations a day, Dr. Anthony Fauci explained in an interview. Oh my God. See, this is what I mean. They carry on. They twist the narrative even more and they're just going to carry on. And, you know, they're still playing the same games with the COVID death numbers. Like anything, if you die for any reason and you're in the hospital and were even just exposed to COVID, they're calling it a COVID death. Like we got accounts of people dying in car accidents, gunshots, you name it, that they were calling COVID deaths, especially in the U.S. But you know damn well they were doing the same thing here in Canada. CDC Director Rochelle Walensky has also stated that the boosters must be expedited in order to work properly. A delay would potentially render the shots outdated as new variants would form, Walensky argues. Well, we got people that are way more qualified than Walensky saying that the variants are a direct cause of faulty vaccines. And basically what happened, this is like we talked about this so long ago, but we've got Dr. Peter McCullough confirming it. What happened was you had vaccines that didn't actually kill or stop the virus, and it was able to live in people's nasal pharynxes. So what it did at that point was it mutated. It mutated to survive and then reinfect the person with the shots. And from there, the vaccinated people infected the unvaccinated. And so the unvaccinated, and so all these variants perfected themselves in the unvaccinated. Now, this is also... This isn't just to point fingers at vaccinated, unvaccinated. This is the natural timeline of a virus. This was going to happen regardless. But the fact that we sped it up by giving faulty vaccines is all it did was just prolong COVID, all the symptoms so that they could carry on this masquerade, this BS plandemic. Study, worse than the virus. A new study conducted by scientists from Harvard and Johns Hopkins, currently in preprint, reveals that the COVID-19 vaccines were up to 98 times worse than the virus itself. The study is critical to booster requirements for American university students, stating in the abstract, using CDC and sponsor-reported adverse events data, we find that booster mandates may cause a net expected harm per COVID-19 hospitalizations prevented in previously uninfected young adults. We anticipate 18 to 98 serious adverse events, including 1.7 to 3.0 booster-associated myocarditis case in males, and 1,373 to 3,234 cases of grade regenicity, which interferes with daily activities. Greater than 3 or lesser than reactogenicity, which interferes with daily activities. False information. As first reported by the Epoch Times, the CDC has provided false information regarding their tracking of adverse events caused by the vaccines. At the same time, Walensky admits that there is a causal relationship between the mRNA vaccines and myocarditis. In a letter dated September 2nd from CDC Director Rochelle Walensky to Senator Ron Johnson, the director states that CDC consistently performs extensive data collection and analysis to detect potential adverse events and safety signals, and then communicates this information to the public. For example, VAERS staff conducted assessments showing that causal associations exist between thrombosis and thrombiotopenia syndrome and Janssen's COVID-19 vaccine, and between myocarditis and mRNA COVID-19 vaccination. In the same letter, Walensky also stated that the CDC did not analyze certain types of adverse events reports whatsoever in 2021, despite having previously stated that they did start this tracking in February of that year. So just a little bit more information, kind of verifying. So that Harvard study, like they were telling you, the study conducted by scientists from Harvard and Johns Hopkins, currently in preprint. So we'll have to try and keep an eye on that. Let's just click on this. The link is active. So let me just see where it's at. Bear with me here. I'm just doing this in real time. Okay, so this study is basically what the article listed, but it just gives you the people that are looking into this, and it's all over the world. It's not just a few. It's all over, even in Canada. So you got Kevin Bardosh, University of Washington, University of Edinburgh, Edinburgh Medical School, Allison Krug, Artemis Biomedical Communications, I can't pronounce this name, which is Ezubrisis Jamrozik, University of Oxford, Trudeau Lemons, University of Toronto, Faculty of Law, Salman Kavashji, Harvard University, Vinay Prasad, University of California, Martin A. McCary, John Hopkins University, Stephen Barrell, John Hopkins University, Tracy Beth Hoag, Florida Department of Health. So it's all over. It's all over. Even including Canada. So this will be the study to watch, because it's basically already pointing that the shots, especially the boosters, are more dangerous than COVID-19 itself. But I know you guys are well aware of this, but it's just nice to have the backing to what we've been saying for a very, very long time. Now, what we're going to do next is we're going to get into an interview with Professor / Dr. Dolores Cahill. She's from Ireland, and she spoke out against these shots since the very beginning, but she has a dire warning, and she's kind of laying it out on the table. So this interview is very, very good. I'm going to play it in its entirety so that you guys can kind of grasp everything that they're talking about. So without any further ado, I'll pass it over to Professor Dolores Cahill, and you guys can listen to what she's got to say.
So what you're basically saying is that we are in the middle of the biggest experiment in human history, which is happening right now, real time, on real people.
And children.
And children.
And pregnant women.
So.
And it should be stopped.
Well, somehow talking to you scares me, right? Because I know a lot of people who are being vaccinated. Is there a way out?
Everybody who has an mRNA injection will die within 3 to 5 years, even if they have only one injection. And I know that is hard to hear, but I think this is why we need to, you know, be honest and tell people, because these trials are the most dangerous clinical trials ever. And there are more deaths in 1 year in 2021 on the COVID-19 trials than all of the 30 years of vaccine clinical trials.
I see disturbing events of people dying and collapsing after being vaccinated. What is going on?
When I came out publicly from May 2020, this was before any of these vaccines, mRNA, were even started, that I said that there was prevention and treatment available, including vitamin D, hydroxychloroquine and zinc. So therefore there was no need to, you know, treat the symptoms of SARS-CoV-2, COVID-19 with the vaccine, first of all. And then in the same interviews from May 2020, I said that if they were thinking of developing an mRNA vaccine that for decades, none of these injections were ever approved because of the death and illness of the animals in the studies. So not one of these mRNA vaccines were ever licensed because either all of the animals died or half of the animals died. And so I said that if they started making these mRNA and putting them into clinical trials, that many people would die, not just immediately after the injections, but in the months and years to come. And what we're now seeing is that there are deaths happening, but they are from people who have been injected with these mRNA injections. And so this is what we're seeing now.
You talk about, you know, vaccines being through clinical trials, and that didn't happen with the mRNA vaccine, right?
They are all in clinical trials. So there are, in general, four phases of a clinical trial for something to then, in an ideal world, if something is safe and it has a benefit for men and women, if it passes, we say, through a phase three clinical trial, then it would be put on the market and doctors can use it and prescribe it. So every single one of the so-called vaccines or injections for COVID-19 are in phase three clinical trials. And so in these things, they did initial phase one clinical trial. They do an animal model.
What do you mean by an animal model?
So different, we'll say, diseases would have different animals. You could use a mouse might be an animal model, or it could be a chimpanzee, or it could be African green monkeys, you know, or it could be rats. So depending on what the medication is or the injection vaccination, for decades of research, they would say, well, maybe a hamster is a good model that would parallel if it was injected into a man or woman. But what we know, they only did very small numbers of animals, and they skipped the phase two clinical trial, which would be maybe hundreds of men and women. And they moved directly from animal models that were done very quickly into injecting the world population, which is a phase three clinical trial. So everybody who has been injected or got these vaccinations, they're all in clinical trials. If the injection was shown to have a benefit and if it was shown to be safe, then it would be given approval of the phase three clinical trial process and it would be launched on the market. But what's significant is that in the world for decades, if one person died on a clinical trial, there would be an alert, and that clinical trials would be stopped if between 25 people and 50 people die on a clinical trial in the world. And we know from the numbers that just between the United States of America, the United Kingdom and the European Union, more than 60,000 people have died on these clinical trials.
Wow.
And within the first weeks, there was already 50 deaths. And these deaths have been reported by the pharmaceutical companies who are essentially putting these products on the market that are causing huge illness, which is called adverse events. And so the adverse events can be stroke, you know, heart attack, paralyzed, you know, rapidly shaking and having neurological problems. And what we're seeing is, as in many of these adverse events, the people will have them for the rest of their lives. And there are some publications now that men, for example, particularly young men, have a 1 in 95 probability of dying within months of getting these injections through inflammation of the heart. So the RNA goes into the heart. It starts making this foreign protein. The immune system has evolved to get rid of the foreign protein. And if that foreign protein is in the cells of your heart, the immune system then tries to kill the protein. It ends up killing your heart muscle. And then the heart slowly deteriorates. And then it gets bigger, you know, because it tries to, you know, compensate. It dilates, it gets bigger and bigger. And eventually it's too weak because the immune system is killing the very fabric of your heart. And then people, when they take exercise, the heart just stops working and they collapse and die. The process is called antibody-dependent enhancement or immune priming, immune super priming, cytokine storm. So the immune system starts reacting when it's killing its own organs. Those cells die and they cause dead cell debris in the body. And that also starts the immune system in this positive feedback loop of trying to kill the dead cells and kill more organs. And it ramps up. And then the people actually die from organ failure, but looks like sepsis. And so what we're seeing is people would die are dying of heart attack, and that's called sudden adult death, or that they're dying, you know, presenting as organ failure. And why, when I spoke out, COVID-19 is only being put on the death certs because they haven't been given prevention and treatment early on. So it is like if people were having pneumonia and all of the doctors of the world says, we're not going to give them antibiotics. And then they come into hospital and they're given antibiotics within a day before their organs are already gone into organ failure and they die. And then they put on whatever the pandemic is. But they really, every death with SARS-CoV-2, COVID-19, is because those men and women and children were not given the safe and, you know, protective treatment early on, like vitamin D, vitamin C, hydroxychloroquine and zinc and ivermectin. And then what around the world, all of the countries are doing is saying the way to treat this issue is by giving an mRNA injection that for decades was never approved, whatever the disease it was trying to do. They are all in clinical trials.
So what you're basically saying is that we are in the middle of the biggest experiment in human history, which is happening right now, real time, on real people.
And children.
And children.
And pregnant women.
So.
And it should be stopped.
Wow. Somehow, talking to you scares me, right? Because I know a lot of people who are being vaccinated. Is there a way out?
Everybody who has an mRNA injection will die within 3 to 5 years, even if they have only one injection. And I know that is hard to hear, but I think this is why we need to, you know, be honest and tell people, because these trials are the most dangerous clinical trials ever. And there are more deaths in 1 year in 2021 on the COVID-19 trials than all of the 30 years of vaccine clinical trials.
So they kind of repeated her shocking statement there. And I think it's warranted. That's horrifying. it's not a surprise, but it's truly horrifying when you start thinking of the amount of people that you know that have had these shots, family, friends, acquaintances, coworkers. It's unreal. I guess let's just hold out hope that she's wrong. But I just, with what we're already seeing, I kind of think she's on the right track. Now, we're going to get into another clip here because Bill Gates was interviewed actually by MSNBC. This is actually unreal. MSNBC actually put out a clip of Bill Gates talking about when he met President Trump. And he tried to, he did. I don't know if it was just Bill Gates, but he convinced or someone convinced President Trump not to report or do safety data analysis on the COVID-19 injections. Now, here's this, and this is why. These two clips tie in together, because if Dolores Cahill is right, which I kind of think she is, and adverse events and everything that we've seen right off the get-go with these shots, Bill Gates knew that if the public was made aware of what these shots were doing right off the kick, that nobody would get it. So let's get into this clip. And at the end, they've got Dr. Peter McCullough does kind of reinforces what a little bit of what Dr. Cahill is saying. So let's get into this next clip. And believe it or not, but from MSNBC.
All In has obtained some never-before-seen footage that gives you a good idea of what one of the wealthiest men in the world, Bill Gates, thinks of the president. Bill Gates took questions during a recent Gates Foundation meeting with staff, and he talked about meeting Donald Trump. Here's what he had to say.
Yeah, so I never met Donald Trump before he was elected. So I saw him at Trump Tower, you know, I said, hey, science and innovation is a great thing. You should be a leader who drives innovation. And that conversation was about a broad set of things in energy, in health, in education. You know, pick things you want to do that are big. HIV vaccine, you could, you know, accelerate that. Be associated with innovation. And then the second time I saw him was the march after that, so March 2017 in the White House. In both of those two meetings, he asked me if vaccines weren't a bad thing, because he was considering a commission to look into ill effects of vaccines. And somebody, his name is Robert Kennedy Jr., was advising him that vaccines were causing bad things. And I said, no, that's a dead end. That would be a bad thing. Don't do that.
It's clear now, all the insurance companies are showing anybody who takes a vaccine much higher risk of death over the next year. The insurance companies are blowing up with deaths all over, especially in young people. It just hit yesterday. The millennial generation, the mortality is way up. The vaccine accelerates death from other causes. So if someone has cancer, the vaccine accelerates that. If someone has heart disease, one's more likely to have fatal heart attacks and strokes. The blood clotting, it's undeniable the vaccines cause blood clotting, which is a common cause of final death as a large blood clot travels to the lung or in the brain. Justin Bieber's wife had a blood clot in the brain. All the athletes dying on the field. You can see it all over. The vaccine is incredibly risky, and it is basically it's achieving its goal. If the goal was to reduce the world's population, it's working.
The vaccine accelerates death from other causes. So that's kind of the fact that Bill Gates is telling President Trump back in what it must have been 2019 about vaccines to not look into any adverse effects. It's a dead end. Don't go there. Why would you ever listen to a computer salesman? He's not even a smart guy. Like, they've got him as his IQ super high. Maybe it actually is, but he didn't come up with Microsoft operating systems. He stole them. Same as Elon Musk. All these people that are put on pedestals and touted as the world's smartest people are all just thieves, all the way back to the time of Edison. Edison stole all of Tesla's work. And then you've got Elon Musk, who basically strong-armed his partners out of Tesla. That's such a slap in the face, that naming a car or a battery on wheels Tesla. There's nothing smart about the whole thing. Anyway, I'm getting into a tangent here, but... let's focus on the fact that Dr. Peter McCullough told us that it accelerates, basically what people were predispositioned to get. That's the part that ties into Dolores Cahill's statement, right? That potentially we're looking at everybody that got these shots, their lifespan is now 3 to 5 years. And they're all going to die from, heavy air quotes, natural causes. So they've got plausible deniability. Every government and institution, the pharmaceutical companies can all say, well, look, these people had cancer. Cancer was already floating around, or this person was susceptible to heart disease or stroke. And it really had nothing to do with the shots. This, when you really start taking the 40,000 foot view of what exactly they rolled out to the public, you gotta marvel at, I guess, the genius of it, because they have realistically, with the probably millions, if not billions, of deaths that we are going to witness in our lifetime, they're all going to look like natural causes, except for the fact that you've got young people now just falling over dead from heart attacks. That's not normal. They're trying to normalize all this stuff. I'm sorry, but the people that never bought into your injection narrative are watching this happen, and they are not buying any of it. So the part of this whole thing that I'm still has me confused is why they would kill off those that would go along with their narratives. Why? You'd think that it would be you and me and everybody that's against these globalists that you'd want to wipe out first. It just seems so backwards. Like, you'd want, I guess realistically, if you are thinking in the terms of eugenics, in the end, a huge reduction of the global population was always in the playbook. I mean, they destroyed their Georgia Guidestones to get rid of the evidence that they had written in Georgia, you know, to reduce the world's population to a sustainable level of 500 million was like number one on the Georgia Guidestones. It's unreal. And here's, let's get into the next. We're going to go to a Substack by Scopes or Scoops Gazette, because what this is going to show us is that Public Health Agency of Canada was aware that ivermectin was working. Now let's dig into the Substack a little bit. Okay, the title reads, "Ivermectin Emails Inside Public Health Agency of Canada, Negligence or Bad Faith." This guy calls himself Scoops Magoo, and this was written on August 2022 update. Okay, for treating COVID, the Canadian government says ivermectin is unsafe, ineffective, and not to use it. But the science says otherwise, and so do some of the Public Health Agency of Canada staff. In September of 2021, the Public Health Agency of Canada was asked for all internal communications regarding ivermectin for the treatment of COVID. Today, they provided some emails dating from the 1st of March 2020 to the 7th of June 2021. These were apparently originally released in April 2022 to some other party who requested the same information from PHAC. PHAC ivermectin release 2022-04-12, a 66.3 megabyte PDF file, Canadian government emails regarding the use of ivermectin for COVID. No, we won't read that part. Okay, so within the PHAC, you've got emails going back and forth from people, carbon copies going out, and this is an ivermectin summary. Now, I think this is the normal narrative that we've heard before, but we'll read it. Ivermectin overview. Ivermectin is a broad-spectrum antiparasitic agent authorized by Health Canada for human and veterinary applications. Health Canada has not authorized its use for the treatment of COVID-19. Ivermectin findings and outcomes. In laboratory studies, ivermectin prevented SARS-CoV-2 from replicating and has demonstrated anti-inflammatory properties, raising the possibility that ivermectin may have a role in COVID-19 prophylaxis or treatment. Whoa, this isn't the narrative that we've all heard before. And this was internal. This went from people within PHAC to other people within PHAC and a whole bunch of carbon copies all over the place. And this was June. This was June 3rd, 2021. Let's carry on here. Well, preliminary in vitro and animal studies reported promising antiviral and anti-inflammatory effects of ivermectin in the context of SARS-CoV-2 infection. Its use as a preventative or treatment for COVID-19 remains controversial due to mixed evidence of clinical benefit from numerous smaller, underpowered, randomized trials. The British medical journals Living Systems Systematic Review and Network Meta-Analysis analyzed 16 randomized trials. Based on their findings, they rated the effects of ivermectin on viral clearance, mechanical ventilation, and mortality as uncertain, meaning it is uncertain whether ivermectin has an important impact on any patient importance, any patient important outcome. Recently, a meta-analysis based on 18 randomized trials of ivermectin in COVID-19 found that ivermectin treatment reduced mortality, time to clinical recovery, and time to viral clearance. A powered, well-designed, randomized trial is needed to clearly elucidate the appropriate role of ivermectin in the clinical management or prevention of COVID-19. Now consider, okay, so that was the email, the going back and forth between people within the Public Health Agency of Canada. I think everybody that is listed on this email should be in serious trouble. Serious trouble. The fact that this didn't get out to the Canadian public and it was June 3rd of 2021, and they fucking knew that ivermectin worked, regardless of how they tried to basically word salad it up in the later points about the British Medical Journal. They actually admitted that they needed randomized trial. Why didn't the Public Health Agency of Canada do a randomized trial within Canada in every single fucking province? Why did that not happen if they knew this? Criminal negligence, my friends. Criminal negligence causing homicide right there. And you've got names listed right in the actual email. Boom. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 fucking names on that email. 6 names at the top of the Public Health Agency of Canada knew this. Knew all that information that we just talked about. Let's carry on here. Now consider the official government stance. There is no evidence that ivermectin worked to prevent or treat COVID-19, and it's not authorized for this use. Dr. Theresa Tam, Canada's so-called chief public health officer, knew of this finding by her own staffers that ivermectin could save lives. Yes, it appears the above overview was put together at the chief's request. Holy crap. From Dr. Theresa Tam, sent to Marina Salvadori. Subject, call to action on consideration of COVID-19 treatment options. Is there some evidence to review that we can point people to on the ivermectin question? This was sent from her iPhone. Tam and the wider federal government, as well as all provinces, territories, and dreaded colleagues, medical licensing bodies, have failed to act on this intelligence. In fact, they actively crush any Canadian doctor who dare treat a patient with ivermectin. In Ontario, the college's ivermectin witch hunt is a blatant violation of Section 5.1 of the Provincial Medicine Act, which protects non-traditional practice. Throughout the PHAC emails, officials say that treatment protocols are the jurisdiction of Health Canada, not PHAC. Health Canada was also asked for its ivermectin emails 9 months ago. Their access to information team say there are 42,000 pages of emails on this topic, but have yet to release any. This is subject to an open complaint with the Office of Information Commissioner. Health Canada states that as of the 10th of June 2022, 41,088 Canadians have died of COVID. The ivermectin meta-analysis shows an average reduction of mortality of 53% across 43 studies. 22,000 lives could have been saved in Canada by using this cheap, safe, and effective off-patent drug. PHAC cites an even better mortality reduction of 62%. So they actually know it's better than 53%. Health Canada prefers to treat COVID with a dangerous drug called remdesivir. Find in-hospital remdesivir adverse events reports released by Health Canada here. So there's actually links that work to this stuff. We know that remdesivir shuts down your kidneys and liver. And then they put you on a ventilator, which basically shuts down your lungs. So the whole protocol, the Health Canada, Public Health Agency of Canada, the whole protocol of what they're doing to people that are admitted with COVID-19 is basically murder, if you want my honest to God opinion. But the fact that you've got proof now, these emails, they knew exactly what ivermectin does and how well it works. That, my friends, criminal negligence causing homicide right there. Everybody listed in this email. You know what? I'll put the Substack in the Telegram room so you guys can see it. For those of you there. Okay. It's not looking like we're going to get to the climate stuff. So we'll do that on the next episode. But what I wanted to show you, the next one that I wanted to show you, comes to us by way of the expose. And the title reads, British Columbia woman, one of the first to receive compensation in Canada for mother's death caused by COVID injection. This is by Rhoda Wilson, and it was written on September 15th, 2022. Francie Duperron of Maple Ridge lost her mother to a COVID injection. She is one of the first people in Canada to become compensated for a family member's death under Canada's vaccine injury support system. Her mother had received a Moderna injection. 10 minutes later, she was having a hard time breathing. Soon, she was unconscious. A nurse administered two EpiPens, one in a leg and one in an arm, but they could not save her. She was gone in 15 minutes. It had been a severe anaphylactic shock, despite the fact that she had never gone into allergic reaction in the past. After her mother's death from injection, Duperron spoke to a lawyer. She had learned that vaccine companies could not be held liable. She had learned. Because the vaccines were developed under emergency use conditions. But the lawyer did tell her about vaccine injury report support program, a vaccine support program. And Duperron wants other people to be aware that it is out there. The program started in June of 2021. As of June 1st, 2022, it has 774 claims, and most are still being processed. Just 8 claims are reported to have been approved by the program's medical review board over the past year. Duperron believes her case went through the process comparatively quickly. She was compensated in February of this year because it was such a clear-cut case. Her mother stopped breathing and died within minutes of being injected with the vaccine. The coroner's report and autopsy confirmed she had died from an allergic reaction to the injection. Still, it was a long and frustrating process. For example, she was asked by officials to present her mother's vaccine passport, even though she had died months before that program even started. Duperron has had the first two Pfizer vaccines and a booster. It wasn't without incident. She is diabetic, and each time she received a vaccine, her blood sugar spiked. She went to the hospital thinking she was having a heart attack. The first time, it took months for her health to return to normal. Oh my God, why don't you just stop at that point? Holy smokes. With the second jab, it was a matter of weeks. Still, Duperron plans to get another booster if it is offered this fall, provided there is an alternative to Moderna. Oh my God, her mom dies, her mother dies, and she herself has like adverse health reactions to every single shot, and she is still marching ahead with another shot. Holy crap. Like, that kind of took me off point of what we were trying to discuss with this article, which is the fact that there is a adverse event program set up in Canada that can help people that are injured. But I don't know what the payouts are. They don't tell us in this article. But I would imagine they're quite low. Maybe cover your funeral costs. That'd be about it. And you can bet your bottom dollar that Trudeau would probably tax it. But the fact that this girl's mom dies, her mom dies from the shot, and she has an adverse reaction to every single one, and she's still going to march forward. If it's required, which it is now, you know, they're recommending every 90 days. So every 3 months to be considered up to date, heavy air quotes on that, because that's how they like to word it. You have to have a shot every 3 months, which it's at 9 months now, but they are going to move to 3 months, but nobody's getting them. You heard, Trudeau is basically spouting off saying that unless we get to 80 or 90% of people up to date on their vaccination status, then we are going into a lockdown again. Well, you're not even going to get close. You're not even going to get close to that. And I think that everybody else that has gotten the shots is done with them, is my honest opinion. But then you've got people like this that every shot almost damn near killed her, and she's still going to march forward. I guess... If she knew what Dr. Cahill was saying, that she's only got 3 to 5 years left to live, then I guess just keep shooting yourself up, because what does it fucking matter at that point? But that's the part that just blows my mind. Like, these are the people that would just hook, line, and sinker, soak up any narrative and go along with the globalists at any point, and these are the people that are being killed. It just doesn't make sense to me. These are the people that you'd want to keep around. But I guess, like I said earlier, if your entire goal is to reduce the world's population, you'll kill the low-hanging fruit first, I guess, is what you're going to do. And I hate to describe the people that went along with this narrative as that, but, and I understand that people were coerced, and I understand why people, you still have to earn a living. You still have to be able to provide for your family. You still have to, you know, I get it. People were coerced. People wanted to travel. You know, that one's a little bit different. Like, traveling isn't that important. Like, I'd rather wait around and just see if shots are safe rather than having to go on a trip this year. Like, Canada's a pretty big country. Why don't you go check out the rest of the country? But when it comes to employment and earning, I totally get that. It was getting dangerously close to where I work that they were going to require something, and I don't know what I would have done. I don't know, quit, I guess. Just say fuck it, find something else. I was looking for a job when I found this one, right guys and gals. So you know, that's kind of where we're gonna leave it. This is a pretty upsetting episode, especially with what Dolores Cahill has said, and then you've got Dr. Peter McCullough kind of reinforcing her in a roundabout way, you know, pointing out that it's going to accelerate natural predispositioned illnesses in people. When you start tying into what different doctors and professors are warning and saying, like, it all makes sense. It's horrifying. Like I've been kind of repeating through the show, 5.5 billion people, my friends. And if Dolores Cahill is right, it doesn't matter if they only got one shot. All of them are going to die. That's only 2.5 billion people left on the planet, if that's the truth. And think about the vaccine. Think about how many people that in your area that even just one shot, when you start thinking in that context, holy crap. If Dolores Cahill is right, then I call Southeast Saskatchewan. That's going to be mine. I hate to be that guy, but I'm taking the Southeast, everybody. That's going to be my fortress. Because we're talking about a huge drop in population, especially in North America. Okay, my friends, I guess that's where we're going to end this one. We'll save the climate stuff, like I said, for the next one, because it's horrifying as well. I don't know. This fascist dictatorship that we live under, they just are full out just going to do whatever the fuck they want. And they don't give a rip. Like, it's out in the open. Anybody that believes that North America, the U.S. or Canada, is a democracy at this point, or a constitutional republic in the U.S.'s case, I hate to say it, friends, but that's all fantasy at this point. It neither country. With the border wide open on the southern U.S. border, you know, and I've got a little bit of a different take when it comes to, you know, the Republican governors that are shipping, like Abbott and DeSantis, you know, they're shipping these immigrants to inland U.S. I don't think that's a good thing. I don't think we should be laughing and joking about that. I think they look like heroes right now because they're trying to upset liberal or blue states. But in the end, they're shipping potential, like, terrorists all over, like, mid-United States, which should be, and northern United States. Like, why would you do that? Like, you should just be turning them back. Actually, it's probably in the Constitution, if you're on a border state, that you should be turning these people back. That's your actual duty, not shipping them inland. So, like I said, I've got a little bit of a different take on that. I don't think that's a good thing that the Republican governors on the southern states are actually trucking and busing these immigrants all over the whole fucking country. What if these are all sleeper cells? What if these are all, let's just say, ISIS or whatever the boogeyman is now? We all know it's CIA. So let's say the CIA's got sleeper cells all over the country now that they can just call in, boom, like that, and they start setting off C4 charges all over the U.S. at the same fucking time. Like, that's what I'm worried about. Like, busing and trucking these immigrants, all migrants, all over the country is not a good idea. That's a horrible idea. Now, I get it that the southern states are struggling. Like, you can't deal with this. You've got, what is it, 2.5 million so far since Biden got in? 2.5 million. Like, they're on track to be 5 million migrants in the U.S., undocumented migrants in the U.S. by the time Biden either gets removed or is out. Like, that's holy shit. There's no fixing that, my friends. There's no fixing that. Anyway, I was trying to end the show and I went on another tangent. That'll happen sometimes, but just back to the original point. Like, if you're still under the illusion that Canada is a democracy or the United States is a constitutional republic, you got to get past that. Like, look at these fascists, these tyrannical fascists out in the open. We know that they're not in charge. Trudeau and Biden are both so fucking stupid that they can't even spit out coherent sentences. Trudeau, the minute he's off script, is just, Well, Biden doesn't know who the fuck he is or where the hell he is 99% of the time. And Trudeau's a moron without a teleprompter. So both of them are just taking marching orders. But it doesn't stop them from doing tyrannical fascist dictator bullshit. Like, it's just, it's so blatant and obvious and in your face that I don't know how Canadians can even say democracy at this point. Like, the land, the true north strong and free? Not anymore, my friends. You're all your granddaddies and your uncles and great uncles that all fought for freedom in Canada was for fuck all. Because it was our own government that turned it all fucking into a tyrannical dictatorship. And, of course, they want us to do something about it. They're trying to bait us into armed conflict because then they can just wipe the rest of us out. They know they've got the biggest part of the population done. Excuse me. With these shots. So maybe that's the whole plan. Maybe we just came full circle. They've got the bulk majority of the population now bought hook, line, and sinker into the shots. And if Dolores Cahill is right, they're all going to be dead in 3 to 5 years. So how do you get the remainder of the population that wouldn't go along with your narrative? How do you wipe them out? Well, you bait them into armed conflict. You just keep pushing their buttons until they take up arms and attempt to wipe you out. And they're probably ready for you to do that. You know, you got people actively in Canada that are talking about doing these things. Well, this is going to fuck it up for us completely, my friends. Look at what they're doing climate change. Like, they're going full-on fascist with climate change. If there was an uprising that they probably could make short work of because they've got CSIS and everybody watching us all already, they'd know exactly your movements before you knew it, not to mention they've probably got plants instigating it the whole fucking time. Well, there you go. Everybody that is even remotely against the narrative, like you, me, and the rest of us that aren't going to take up arms but going to speak out and try to push peaceful non-compliance, which is the only way out of this, the only way. Well, if you got small pockets of people that are probably being coached by intelligence plants to attack or try to go after the government, well, that's it. It's over. And then if you fight back when they come to take you to a concentration camp, well, you're just fitting into the narrative. I don't know what the answer is. I'm just kind of, I'm just spitballing at this point of the potentials that could happen with all of this. But holy moly, I guess we'll see. One thing I can tell you is I won't go to a concentration camp. It'll probably be a blaze of glory if they come and try and get me. So I guess that's the one thing I got going. I'm sure it's the same for all of you guys, but all we can do is watch and see how this plays out. A lot of us are fairly organized. I know a lot of you guys are. There's meetings all over the place. The extremists, I'm just going to call them the extremists, that are actually planning and plotting to go after the government, I do not support that. I'm not for that 100. That is going to, like I said, completely ruin it for all of us. Right now, there's still this illusion of democracy that they're getting away with shit underneath, but if you got us that come for them, oh, it's all over. It's all over. We gotta keep fighting this in the courts, and we gotta keep watching their narrative, their COVID narrative completely, or their shot narrative completely fall apart, and then start exploiting it. But we'll see how it goes, my friends. Anyway, if you want to reach out to me, you can find me on Facebook. It's Canadian Patriot Radio. Use the message button, especially if you've got a song or a musical clip. It doesn't matter what it is, my friends. I like music, all forms, as long as it's good. Send it to me. If you think it would be good for the opening of the show, send it to me. Use that message button on Facebook and send me what you think would be good for an opener for the show. If you prefer email, it's CanadianPatriotRadio at gmail.com. The Telegram room is What is the Telegram room? t.me/CPR_2. Sorry, I had a brain fart there. And if you don't like any of those, the website is CanadianPatriotRadio.ca. Now, reminder on the website, it's actively being throttled by Google. Even on DuckDuckGo, it's getting hard to find. So you got to enter the backslashes, CanadianPatriotRadio.ca/. And if that doesn't work, then do HTTPS, I think, believe it is. And then... I had to screw around with that search, and it's hard to find. If you're having trouble on your search engine, just go to the Facebook page, and the link to the website works from the Facebook page. So anyway, my friends, with all that being said, thank you for tuning in, and until next time, in all thy sons command.
For joining us for another episode of Canadian Patriot Radio. CPR is not filmed before a live studio audience. If you like the show, friends, make sure you give us a thumbs up and share us on all your social media platforms. Until next time, take care.
It's over!